If you're a person of color in this country, every day you might encounter oppression that remains from systems set in motion hundreds of years ago. The inequity that results affects everything from jobs to education to housing to health care. So given our history, what would it take to really bring progress toward racial equity? Kianga Yamada Taylor is an author and professor at Princeton University. Her research examines race and public policy. She told KUOW race and equity reporter Patricia Murphy that America is making progress, but it's mixed.
I think for the general public that there has been some movement in terms of a greater understanding of the challenges presented by racism for ordinary African Americans. I think that that is one of the lasting impacts of the Black Lives Matter movement. But I do think that in terms of the persistence of police violence, the persistence of underemployment and unemployment, the persistence of under-resourced institutions that Black people disproportionately rely on, that there continue to be disparities in that sense. And so I think that there's a mixed picture, and I think given some of the rhetoric of the incoming Trump administration, we should expect that picture to remain mixed, if not become even more cloudy going forward.
What would racial equity look like in the United States?
That's a difficult question because it assumes that the United States is an equal society, except on the question of race. And so we saw in 2011 the emergence of the Occupy movement. Well, what that movement was all about was a sort of base core inequality that exists in the United States. What activists then described as the 1% versus the 99%. I guess what I'm saying is that we can talk about racial inequality, and we should talk about racial inequality, but we also have to talk about and deal with the fact that there are 20 million poor white people in this country. And so if the goal is simply to integrate into a society that also impoverishes white people and leaves people in general in questioning how they are able to survive on a day-to-day basis, then that's not very much of an accomplishment.
Here in Washington State, King County has put a lot of money behind an office that's dedicated to achieving racial equity. How valuable are efforts like this?
I mean, I think all of those efforts are important, and I wouldn't decry any of them. I think usually what happens in situations like that is the funding and appropriations for offices like that is, you know, often the victim of attrition, or there are never enough resources to really make sure that the promises of an office like that are fulfilled. Often what elected officials say then is that we should get rid of those offices for being ineffective, when really the solution is to create more resources and to create more kinds of efforts like that. Because if you think about it, we have all sorts of laws on the books that ban discriminatory behavior in employment and education and housing. To me, offices like that that are dealing with the issues of racial inequality are things that should be encouraged, not discouraged.
Have you seen cities or institutions do a good job in working towards equity?
No. I think that the best examples that we have are situations that occur in the aftermath of political struggle. And so, you know, if we take an example like Black Lives Matter and the way in which protest in 2014 forced even the office of the presidency to dedicate resources towards responding to this issue of police violence and abuse in African-American communities. Now, that effort has been incomplete and unsatisfactory. But I think that there is a model that we can see sort of over history and throughout time, that the way that we move, you know, race relations, for lack of a better word or term, ahead is not through endless commissions, endless discussions about things that we already know. It happens when people are organized and get on the streets and protest and apply pressure to our existing institutions. I think where people have been able to apply pressure, that's where we've seen the greatest movement and change.
Are you hopeful that we will seize this opportunity as a country and make progress?
I am hopeful. And that's a strange thing to be, it seems, right now. I certainly was bewildered the night of the election and for many weeks after. And I'm hopeful, but I'm also, you know, concerned. I think that Donald Trump is a bad person. I think that he and the Republicans are out for blood. I think that they see that they have a small window in which to reset everything. And I think they want to smash and grab as much as they can. But there is a long history and tradition in this country of resistance, of fighting back. We have to reconnect that history with people who are in struggle today as a way to build confidence and to connect ourselves to a struggle that is greater than what is around us today. And I believe that we can do that. When you asked me earlier, are people ready? I think people are tired. I think people are angry. And I think that people want something different.
Kianga Yamada Taylor is an associate professor at Princeton University. She's the author of the book, From Black Lives Matter to Black Liberation. She spoke with KUOW's Patricia Murphy. KUOW is looking into how racial inequity shapes the Seattle region. You can get involved in the conversation on our Facebook page, KUOW Public Radio.